It doesn't matter where they have come from, whatever armed nations they have, if they got what belongs to me, I am going after them. The victories of the battles you will ever fight in life don't depend on any human being. They depend on what God has put within you. If you are a Christian, there is no reason you should suffer any loss in life. God has deposited enough power and ability inside you. You will always win every battle.
In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, Jesus has said to us to do this in remembrance of him. Jesus broke bread with his disciples and he said to them that we should keep doing it in remembrance of him. Now, Jesus didn't mean we should do it so that we can remember, oh yes, oh, you remember that guy called Jesus? Yeah. Ah, this bread reminds me of him. That's not what he meant. He was giving us an insight into something. He was telling us that each time we break bread together, we are invoking an atmosphere of the supernatural to which we truly belong, even though we live in an ordinary world. We belong in the supernatural realm. When we break bread, we are giving ourselves again, we are awakening the consciousness of the things that was done for us that brought us into that atmosphere of the supernatural. Before Jesus went on the cross and before he had the Last Supper with his disciples, he said to them, I desire with great desire to have this supper with you guys. He was talking about the Passover feast. Jesus had the Passover feast with his disciples at least two other times because it was an annual feast. In Israel, every Jew like Jesus would participate in the Passover every year. Now, Jesus was telling them this time, I have a great desire to have this one with you, but you've always had it with us. Why is this one with great desire? It was because of what was going to happen in that particular Passover. The Bible shows to us in Luke and in other Gospels that as they were eating this Passover is actually a feast eating with much food. They will set the table. It will be like, I was in Tonga, my first time in Tonga, it was like an embarrassment when they called me to dinner. The table was full. Pig, beef, chicken, this, that. We're not talking about small piece of it. Like, how many people are coming? They said, no, just you and I. Now, but that was how the Passover was celebrated in those days. They have much on the table to eat. Now, but while they were eating, the Bible said Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to them. This is my body, which is broken for you. But he has always been eating Passover with them before, and there has always been bread that they just eat and then they just leave. But now he was telling them, this is my body, which is broken for you. And he gave it to them and they all ate. And he went on to take the cup. While they saw, he took the cup and he said to them, this is my blood. Now, when Jesus said, this is my blood, it was actually become his blood. Now, his disciples understood that about Jesus. Once a time, Jesus was seen walking on the water towards his disciples at about 10 p.m. in the night. And they didn't see his face from far. And they thought it was a ghost. They screamed, it is a ghost. Jesus said, no, relax. Don't be scared. I'm the one. They heard his voice. They knew it was Jesus. Then Peter said, Master, you're walking on the water? Because they have always known him as They've seen him sat on the chair with them and live like a normal human being with them. How come he's walking on the water? And then Peter spoke out and said, Master, if it be you, ask me to come unto you on the water. Now, brothers and sisters, if you understand what Peter was saying, of course he was not saying, if it is really you, we are not sure if it's you. If it's really you, tell me to come on the water. You can't take such a risk. Supposing it's not Jesus, and he says, come, and you jump into the sea, you are gone forever. Why was Peter saying, if it be you, bid me come unto you on the waters? There has been experiences before that Jesus would give his words, and they will act on that word, and the supernatural will happen. So he said, wow, Master, you're walking on the water? If it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And Peter jumped on the water and he began to walk on the water. How could that happen? Peter understood that the words of Jesus make things be the way he says they are. So when Jesus took the cup of wine and he said, this is my blood, the disciples understood that they were not drinking wine no more. They've been drinking wine in the feast all before that point. But at the point he said, this is my blood, they understood they were drinking blood. So they took it and they all drank. But what was happening here? Jesus told them, you are not just drinking my blood. He said, this is my blood of the New Testament. You are drinking into a covenant. And they all drank of it. What covenant was Jesus bringing them into? I've explained this sometimes before. There was something that needed to be done. Now, previously there was a similar covenant that was caught in Genesis chapter 15 between God and man. God needed to give man his son, who originally is the seed of God. But he wanted to give that seed to man so that it becomes the seed of man. And he told this guy, Abraham, about this seed. And he was telling him, your seed, which seed was actually God's seed that was going to be given to him. But that connection could not be established. God couldn't give Abraham his seed. He couldn't take the seed that was his and put in Abraham until he cut a blood covenant with Abraham. He cut a blood covenant with Abraham, Genesis chapter 15. The moment that blood covenant was cut, it put God and man, Abraham, into oneness, an unbreakable union, in such a way that everything that belonged to God became Abraham's own. And everything that belonged to Abraham becomes God's own. A similar covenant happens when people go in marriage. That was what happened between God and Abraham. Everything that was God's own became Abraham's own. So the seed that is being referred to as the seed of Abraham in Galatians chapter 3 verse 16 and 29, the seed of Abraham, that seed actually was originally God's seed. So but for that seed that was originally God's seed to become Abraham's seed, there has to be a blood covenant to transfer everything that belongs to God to become Abraham's own. Jesus was cutting another covenant between him and the disciples. What was this covenant? These guys were not born again. They were ordinary men. They were carrying in them the nature of the fallen Adam. But here was Jesus with the nature of the second Adam, which was the nature of life without sin. But he kept referring to himself as the heirs of man, the son of man, the one that will represent man and carry all the sin of man upon him and die for man. That couldn't happen until he had the right of link to everything that belonged to man, including the sin of man. And for that to happen, for that link to happen, for him to take everything that was man upon himself, there has to be a blood covenant with man, the unregenerated man, the man who had sin in his nature. After that covenant, everything that belonged to man was Jesus' own. The sin that was upon man came on Jesus. And the next day he went to the cross with the sin upon him. Apostle Paul was describing what actually happened when Jesus went to the cross. In Romans chapter 6, let's look in verse 8. Romans 6, 8. In Romans chapter 6, verse 8, Apostle Paul was explaining, he says, now, if we be dead with Christ, listen, he was describing something to the Christians in Rome. He says, if we be dead with Christ, which means we are actually dead with Christ. He says, if we be dead with Christ, he's not asking, are we dead with Christ? He's telling them we are dead with Christ. He says, if we be dead with Christ, which means when Jesus died, we actually died with him. I'll give you a simple illustration. God helping us do his will and his work, we get this place full, filled with people like prophecy have said. And then this whole place get filled. This place can't take us no more. Second service is full. It can't take us no more. The third service is full. It can't take us no more. The fourth service is full. We have just gotten another venue now for church for Sydney too. Now, we figure this place is too small for us. And then I figure, okay, maybe I just take one other person or two. Come with me. We go out in the daytime. We go look for a venue. We find one. And then we say we are moving. Every one of you here will say, we have found another venue for church. Is that not what you're going to say? We have found another venue for church. We are moving to a new venue. Is that not what you're going to say? You wouldn't say, Pastor Marvin has found a venue for church. Is that what you're going to be saying? You're going to say, we have found another venue for church and we are moving to another venue. It's the same thing Apostle Paul was telling the Romans. He said, when Jesus died, it was not Jesus that was dying. It was all of us that were dying together in Christ Jesus. He says, now, if we be dead with Christ, let's look, same chapter, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him. We died with him. And when we died with him, Jesus was buried in the tomb. Apostle Paul was telling the Roman people, he said, when Jesus was buried, we too, we were buried with him. It was not just Jesus that was put in there. Brothers and sisters, we were put in there together with him. He was writing another letter to the Ephesian church. Ephesians 2, from verse 5. Jesus or the Holy Spirit was saying through Apostle Paul to the church. He said, when Jesus died, we died together with him. And we were raised together with him. Even when we were dead in sin, it didn't matter that you just became a Christian 2 years ago or last week or today. The moment you became a Christian, you automatically were part of what happened when Jesus died. And we were raised. He said, and even when we were dead in sin, had quickened us. Look from verse 4, please. Let's read it from verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, which means God loved us even when we were still sinners, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Hath quickened us together with Christ. What does it mean to quicken? It means to make alive. He made us alive together with Christ. When Jesus was raised from the dead, when he was given life again from the dead, he says it was not just Jesus that was receiving that life. It was you and I. He says, even when we were dead in sin, God didn't wait for us to become good. He quickened us together with Christ Jesus. To be quickened together means to be made alive. So when Jesus was raised from the dead, you and I were raised from the dead together with Jesus. Now, I want you to understand that the Bible was not talking about being raised to biological life. He's breathing again. This guy died 3 days ago. He's breathing again. No, it's more than that. What the Bible was talking about was that he was brought back from the spirit of the dead. He was brought back from spiritual death to a spiritual life. Even though the physical life also came, he also came back from the physical death to the physical life, but he was also raised, quickened from the spiritual death into the spiritual life. So this Jesus that died with the biological life, he came back with the spiritual life. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, before you even knew to be born again, God has already ascribed unto your account the God kind of life. He says, he quickened us together with Christ, verse 6, and had raised us. He didn't just bring us back to life together with him. The next verse shows us, and had raised us up together. He raised us. What does it mean to have been raised? This is not the quickening. This is the raise, the ascension into heaven. When Jesus was raised away from the earth into heaven, brothers and sisters, you and I, we were raised together into heaven together with Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, and has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So as far as God has done, he's actually making you and I to sit together with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. Now, I will go on in a few minutes to explain a few more things to you. I want you to understand something. We are not just seated together with Jesus in heavenly places for showmanship, for the fun of it. We are seated together in heavenly places. Now, in John, we saw this last week in John chapter 18, verse 36, when they took Jesus before Pilate, and the Pilate asked him, are you a king? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. Which means, I truly am a king, and I have a kingdom, but my kingdom you can't see with the physical eyes. My kingdom is beyond this realm. In Revelations chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible shows to us that Jesus has made us kings and priests unto God, and had made us kings and priests unto God. Give us also verse 10, chapter 10, verse 5. He has made us kings and priests unto God. How did this happen? He says, and has made us unto our God kings and priests. For what reason? Colon. And we shall reign. Where? When we get to heaven? When we get to heaven, where? On earth. Which means God wants you and I to reign on this earth. I want you to understand, the reason you are made king is so that you can reign on this earth. God does not want you to suffer anything. He does not want you to have any pain in life. He wants you to be in charge of the situations and circumstances of your life. What does it mean to be king? It means to be reigning, to be in charge. God wants you to be able to sit as king. When God said to Jesus, sit down on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool, he was not saying sit down on this chair that is on my right hand. He was saying sit down on my position of power. That's what it means. He says, sit down on my right hand side. He says, sit down on my right hand, which is the position of power. And when Jesus sits there, he's not sitting there all by himself. He's sitting there with you and me, sitting together with him in heavenly places. That's what we saw in Ephesians. We are seated together with him in heavenly places. And what do we do in this position of power? We exercise dominion. And that was God's original plan for your life. To rule, to dominate in your life. To begin to make decrees and determine what happens in the circumstances and situations of your life. Brother and sister, if your life is such that there are issues you cannot control, those issues, they baffle you, they create perplexity, they create confusion. If there are situations like that, God is not happy about it. He wants you to wake up and get into position that he has created for you to be and begin to take charge. By the time you understand who you really are in God, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what you're going to begin to do. Someday in your house, you think about some things. You You say, what is it? You sit down. I am a king. You begin to make decrees. Now, that is what kings do. You say, not no more. Not in my life. Far from it. Not anymore. This is the last time. I am the one in charge here. I told you the day I heard Reverend Tom told me that the health of God is in my body. I said, then where was this sickness be coming from? And he said, sicknesses don't come from God. They come from the devil. I said, so Satan, you are the one that has been making me sick all this while, and I didn't know. I said, this is the last time. When I get home, I'm going to face this issue. And I have just been taught previously by my pastor that I am a king and I'm in charge in my life. I said, now I know what to do. I know who has been bringing this sickness. When I got home, I entered inside my room. I closed the door. Nobody knew I was back from church. I closed the door and I began to thank God first. Lord, I worship you. You have given me power to fix every situation in my life. Thank you, Lord. I worship him. I thanked him. Then I stood up. I looked into the air. I knew Satan was somewhere looking at me. I said, Satan, now I know you are the one that has been making me sick. This is the last time. Never try it again. You dare not try it again. Never. In the name of Jesus. When I finished that, I came back to God. Lord, I worship you because I'm never going to be sick in my life. I'm never going to be sick in my life. Are you seeing a king taking charge in his life? Never in my life. I will never be sick again. Not one day in my life. I continued, then I hit my bed on my knees, worshiping God. I continued on this. I didn't know when I fell asleep. When I woke up 4 a.m. in the morning, I got up. I was waiting for the other people in the house to wake up. When they woke up, I opened my door. I began to announce, do you know what, sister? I'm never going to be sick one day of my life. I went to the other one. Brother, I will never be sick one day of my life. I went to the next one. For the past 25 years that I heard Reverend Tom told me about the power of God that is in my mouth, with which I can declare and take charge in my life. Since 25 years, I have not had the need for a single paracetamol. Brothers and sisters, it's the same way you can rule and dominate in your life. God has made you king. Anyone that steps into your territory without your permission, you can use the power of God that is at work in your mouth to repel that devil, and the angels will reply. They will ascend to what you have said. They will get into action because of the words that you have said. The books of Revelation said in chapter 12 verse 11, it says we overcame the devil and all the cohorts of darkness by the word of our mouth, and by the blood of the lamb, and by the testimony that is in our mouth. Your life cannot be enslaved anymore, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are a king on the inside. It doesn't matter what you appear on the outside, but inside you, you are a king. Inside you, you are a king. I told you before, the spirit that is in you is not an ordinary spirit. You are carrying the spirit, the same spirit that Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary, carried inside him, that made him to be the son of God. That same spirit is in you. You are not ordinary. Stand up and let's worship God. You are not an ordinary person. No devil can tear your life. God just needs you to understand who you are. You need to know who you are. You have been born a king, and you must reign in life. Go ahead and give him praise. Give him praise. You are not ordinary. You are a king. Father, we thank you, O God.
We trust that you have been blessed by this message. If you have not been born again, I want to lead you into salvation right now, the Bible way. This is your opportunity to receive salvation. Say these words after me and mean them from the bottom of your heart, and God will hear you. Say, O Lord God, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross to save my soul. I believe God raised him from the dead, and he is alive today. I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. From this day, I receive by faith eternal life into my heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I have eternal life now. I am born again. I am a child of God. From this day, amen. Congratulations, you are now a child of God. To receive more information on how you can grow as a Christian, please send us an email at cesydney@gmail.com. That is cesydney@gmail.com. God bless you.